Hello, Senator Damon, Representative Percy, members of the Joint Standing Marine Resources Committee. My name is Andrew Good, and I'm here representing the Atlantic Salmon Federation, which is a nonprofit group headquartered here in Maine and up in St. Andrews, New Brunswick. I'm also representing the Maine Council of the Atlantic Salmon Federation, which is incorporated here in Maine and represents 18 different river groups and watershed councils, Trout Unlimited chapters and such around the state of Maine as well today. We are here today to voice our support for Dick Rulin for his reappointment to the Atlantic Salmon Commission Board. We were here in support of his first term, and so it's no surprise that we're back for a second term. Dick is a member of all three of the salmon clubs on the Penobscot and has served as an officer or as president of almost all of the clubs, and he remains actively involved today, as to does his family. Dick, as you've heard, has been involved in the Penobscot River for decades and the cleanup of the Penobscot River, but also the Bangor Dam, which was breached in the early 1880s, and there was a battle whether to rebuild that dam or not. Dick was involved in that battle, and so the dam was not built. And if that dam had been built, and if Basin Mills had been built a few years later, then we probably would not have any Atlantic salmon in the Penobscot today, and we probably wouldn't have the Penobscot River Restoration Project, which is really what we think probably the last best chance to restore Atlantic salmon in the state of Maine, is to successfully implement that project, and that's on a very successful track at the moment. So again, Dick is a great sort of public advocate and represents the angling interest and the conservation interests. They're pretty much one and the same when it comes to Atlantic salmon. So we support him to this reappointment to the board. And with that, I will take any questions. I would just add, too, on the down east rivers we were talking about just quickly, is that, you know, those runs disappeared sort of fairly quickly. But if you look to the north, the Bay of Fundy has 33 rivers, and the same thing happened. Back in the early 80s, you had a population of 45,000 salmon in those 33 rivers in the Bay of Fundy. And in 20 years, they pretty much disappeared. And that's sort of the same thing that happened with a lot of those down east rivers. And in that case, I mean, it's different, I think, in different parts of Maine or different regions. But in the case of those rivers, it seems that the ocean environment certainly is a big factor. I mean, there's some things like acid rain, but certainly can't begin to explain when you look at that whole range. And then just the only last thing, and then I will stop, is that whether you're looking at Maine or in Canada, any river that's lost its river herrings as a collection, you will not find Atlantic salmon. So that talks about the interconnectedness, and we are also supportive of this merger between DMR and the Atlantic Salmon Commission. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Mr. Good. There was a question earlier from a member of the committee regarding the work of the Salmon Federation, the Atlantic Salmon Commission, and schools, and education, and school children.
Yes.
It was mentioned that you might be able to have some comment about that.
Yeah, we have a program we've had for quite a while called Fish Friends, and we have over 100 schools in Maine, maybe it's 120 schools in Maine, where there's actually have a fish tank in the classroom. And we work with the feds in the state of Maine and a volunteer network. Mostly this is our Maine council, where we'll deliver eggs, salmon eggs, that we'll get from, the Green Lake Hatchery, bring them to the schools, and then the kids will put the eggs in the tank and sort of monitor the water temperature and then watch them hatch. They'll feed them, and then when it's time in the spring, they'll take them out to a nearby stream and release them. So they are learning the whole sort of life cycle of Atlantic salmon. It's not just Atlantic salmon, it's sort of fish in general. And I think in New England, if you look at the other New England states too, I think we've got about 300 or 400 schools that are active. And most of these schools do it year after year. It's the same teachers, and it's completely volunteer delivered in the state of Maine, which we're proud about too.
I was aware of that. In fact, I believe that the school in my own community takes part in that. And I'm wondering if there's any quantifiable results with regards, aside from the fact that people are now more aware of the salmon and the hatching and things that you just had talked about, but is there any return data, any of these fish coming back that were...
No, but it's more of a, you know, it's really for the learning, the education. It's not a large number of eggs, so they may be putting I don't know, at the, you know, when they put them in the streams, they maybe, you know, have 50 little
yep.
fingerlings, and you know, you need millions almost to sort of, you know, return, you know, result in it, because you lose so much as they continue to grow. So I'm not sure that, although I do think in the Kennebec, you know, we're seeing a few fish in the Sandy River in particular,
mm-hmm.
There's some thought that there's a few of those fish may have come from the Fish Friends program. So.
Mm-hmm. Very well.
But sort of a small number problem.
Questions for Mr. Good, Representative Fletcher, and then Representative Percy.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. How are you, Andy?
Mm-hmm.
I was intrigued by what's happened in the Bay of Fundy and the Down East Rivers. Is there any hypothesis that's in print that talks about what happened or what the most likely scenarios are that caused
yeah.
that to happen that you're aware of?
No, and you know, it's you know, for a fish that's been so loved and so studied for so long, you know, the ocean really is a black hole. And Atlantic salmon, I mean, right now the adult salmon that will return to Maine this year are on their way back from Greenland right now. So they really go quite a long way. So, you know, my organization, we have a big science research component, and it's almost totally focused on the marine environment now, where we are attaching pingers to salmon at different life stages, following them out into the marine environment, trying to see where they're disappearing, and then focusing in on that area to try to tease out that problem. So, you know, we don't know. We do know, for instance, this past year in 2007, the runs in Canada were way down. The runs are down a little bit in Maine, but even more so. I mean, there was common for these runs to be down 40 to 50% in 1 year, which is very abnormal. In that case, you know, we were out there, and we do think that it was really cold water. It may have been a natural phenomenon this past year, where there's this cold slug of water up in the Gulf of St. Lawrence that almost acted as a dam itself, because salmon operate within a certain temperature regime. So that was that, but that's only that 1 year, and we think that may have been natural. But overall, there's some longer-term trends that seem to be troubling, you know, in the marine environment. But I can't really give you any more definitive answer other than a lot of possibilities.
And as one, what the questions that we're dealing with aren't really germane to the approval, but I find it intriguing that we're here, and maybe one of these days we can take an afternoon, maybe, because I think that it's particularly important for this committee to understand what we know and what we don't know. And one of the questions I would ask if we were into that discussion is if you could take a clean sheet of paper, take the Machias or whichever river you want to, and restore that both in habitat within the high water mark, but also the habitat around it. Because I think it would be a very important piece of learning to actually take a habitat, do whatever we got to do, concentrate our resources on that to bring it back to the way we think we can bring it.
Mm-hmm.
Because in some sense, I get the thought that lots of times we're trying to do everything and we can't do anything completely. Now, that's just a probably incorrect judgment, but you know, that's the problem I have sometimes. I think we don't concentrate. So maybe one of these days in committee outside of this discussion, we can maybe just have an afternoon to talk about Atlantic salmon. I'd love to have that.
Love to be a part of it sometime.
Thank you. Representative Percy.
Thank you, Mr. Good. Just a question. Do we have one hatchery in the state?
We have two federal hatcheries that pretty much drive a lot of the restoration program. One's called the Craig Brook National Fish Hatchery, and that's in Orland. And the other one is the Green Lake National Fish Hatchery. And it's the Green Lake that provides a lot of the Penobscot restoration effort. And the Craig Brook focuses on the endangered species rivers, the eight Down East rivers, and the Sheepscot as well, and in Cove Brook in the Penobscot watershed.
And so in terms of funding, as we sit here hearing about all the cuts to the state, we don't have to worry about state monies being cut to that. It's all federal monies.
Yes.
Great.
Other questions for Mr. Good? Seeing none, thank you for your presence today. Thank you for your testimony. Mm-hmm.